We see the compatriots falling through the portal. Green and blue energies whip wildly as they plummet through the strange tunnel of energy connecting the world that was left for dead and the world in between. They can see Alessandra staring at her tablet, hammering in commands with her fingertips as Coggle furiously maintains the unstable portal generator. Suddenly, a shot rings out behind them. They turn to see one of the armored Quantum soldiers, wounded from a large slashing cut, rifle outstretched as he dive bombs after them. A cry of pain draws their attention, a flash of crimson as the bolt strikes Alessandra's shoulder. The shock causes both of their allies beyond the gate to slip for just a moment, but a moment is all it takes. Suddenly, the tunnel destabilizes. A rift opens on the party's side. Beyond, there is nothing but a strange desert wasteland. A concussive shockwave blasts through the compatriots as the soldier fires his energy shotgun. Jeremy is thrown off course and flies through the desert portal, his fingers reaching for his fellow allies as the rest of the party is launched into the in-between with a slamming force. Alessandra slams her fist on the close switch just as the soldier is lining up another shot. We hear his scream cut off as the portal seals. Alessandra stares at the empty air, her face pale, shoulder leaking blood as Coggle runs for the first aid kit. I'm so sorry.
Ha doom digga 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 doom.
The lever thrown, the portal lid, our heroes pulled into the rift. Their next stop is unknown. In Quantum Dungeon.
Quantum Dungeon.
Quantum Dungeon.
Quantum Dungeon.
They're here now, gone now, far away from home. In Quantum Dungeon.
Quantum Dungeon.
Quantum Dungeon.
Quantum Dungeon.
Which road leads home they do not know, so they will roll. They roll.
Roll those dice.
They roll.
Crit fail twice.
Until the road leads home, they will roll. Roll, 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 Quantum Dungeon.
Welcome back to Quantum Dungeon, where the roles are real, but the science is made up. I'm Harrison Redward, your Dungeon Master, and with me, as usual, I have 75% of the complete compatriots.
I'm Adam Dunn. I'm playing Will Smythe. That's Smythe Deer, not Smith. I didn't realize you were going to hit me with that very sad statistic right then.
My name is Devin Redward, and I'm playing the character of Auntie Marina.
And I'm Zach Blaylock, and I'll be taking on the role of Jeremy Yang, a beautiful science boy, as well as Patricia Moynihan, an actor, darling.
You're not. Welcome back, everybody. It's the start of season two here at the Quantum Dungeon World. And just for a brief mention in the beginning, as you listeners have heard, we are unfortunately not being joined by Jeremy Yang, played by Andrew Forsyth, this season. He is taking the leave of absence. We wish him well. He has a lot of irons in the fire, and it was finding it difficult to balance everything. So he is going to take some time. I'm not saying the door's closed on him yet. He may be back, but for now, he's taking a leave of absence. So we're just carrying on with our three compatriots. But let's carry on with a little tiny, just the smallest of recaps. So, last time, during the season finale, we reached a conclusion of the world that was left for dead. After returning Acid Lung to his containment cell, the lockdown in the lab was lifted. The compatriots rushed to the aid of the NPC 3-0 and got a call on their radio from a familiar friend, Star. Star informed them that he was bringing Langmore along to prove he had done such a great job on his mission. Langmore, over the radio, berated the compatriots, so they actively, continuously cut him off using some fun radio hijinks. After discovering the cure would require a devastating sacrifice, the group debated with Casey to give them a chance to convince Star to make that ultimate sacrifice. Langmore arrived and revealed some of the elements of his plans and goals, and Smythe managed to convince Star to take the cure while the rest of the team made a futile attempt to attack the possessed Langmore. While preparing to escape from the rooftop, a portal was opened but quickly destroyed by the other quantum travelers who came to arrest the compatriots as well as Langmore for crimes against the quantum universe. Alessandra convinced the compatriots that she could open a portal off the edge of the roof if they just trusted her and jumped, and the group grabbed arms and leaped off the roof with Marina leading the way, as per usual.
Babushka,
so now we
aloft.
Awaken. You guys fell through the portal with extreme force after Jeremy was ripped away into a side portal due to the destabilization of the rift. You guys wake up in some hammocks in some form of ramshackle bunkhouse that definitely wasn't here the first time you came back. But that's where you awaken after losing consciousness being thrust through the portal.
This is not the first time that I have woken up here.
I see you guys
got
the tent up.
This is all very familiar to me. It has been many, many years since I have drinking this much vodka and passed out. I have to admit.
Is it every time we pass through the portal, it feels like a white wine headache? Oh.
This is what I am saying about the vodka.
You find that you're all, like, in these hammock, like, cot. Would you guys have a hammock or a cot? That's my first question for your space.
Just some straw.
Straw?
Or dirt?
Okay, dirt and straw.
I'm in an Eno. Smythe? As, like, I'm, like, in the rafters, like, high up.
On a hammock?
Yeah. It's like an Eno hammock, though. It's like a real bro-y bullshit.
Like the ones you see at the park?
The ones you see, yeah. That, like, the Patagonias are wearing. Is that what they're called?
Yes, the Patagonias. Yeah.
And they're wearing them.
They're wearing them. They're their
and
capes.
They were roommates.
And would Patricia be in a hammock or a cot? What's she more...
A day bed.
So, like, my initial thought was hammock, but, like, I want to be the third option of not dirt and straw and not Patagonia hammock. So I guess she's on a cot.
And you see that, like, some sheets have been hung up so that there's space in between each room, but you can hear each other between the sheets, obviously. It's not, you know, it's not thick walls. But do you smell food as Coggle is balancing multiple plates of, like, lightly sizzling bacon. Well, it smells like bacon and eggs. And he says, y'all doing okay? Oh. Hey, I'm bringing up some food.
Oh, is that Coggle?
Hey, it's me, Coggle.
Do you have any avocado?
I don't think we got avocados there, Smythe.
I'll just take
I
eggs
just figured
then.
Maybe.
No.
All right. I figured a little breakfast before Allie's plum just distraught over what happened with Jeremy, if y'all remember.
What happened with Jeremy?
What are you saying about Jeremy?
Well, I mean, you'll notice he ain't, he's not here. It was
we
a terrible
left him
accident.
The
he got ripped away. We really tried to restabilize the portal. He got lost in the quantum river.
Jeremy's gone?
He got sucked away. I mean, yeah, don't y'all remember?
Do you have any idea? I don't even know in which direction he went. Like, what?
I mean, I'll let Allie talk about all the details and all the, you know, complicated stuff. You guys hit your head pretty hard, I do guess, when you got slammed through that portal. But yeah, Jeremy, you know, he was coming down and Allie got shot by that crazy guy behind you and he got ripped off into some side portal. We tried to save him. It was the best we could do.
Smite says, just to get you. Alexa, play Arms of an Angel by Sarah McLachlan.
Alexa, don't really
This
do
is
that.
Not the first time that I have woken up and been missing members of my party. It's a pretty common occurrence, to be honest.
Taken by the KGB.
I can't imagine anything that's happened is a common occurrence. We just saw Dr. Langmore with the giant blade arms. We got shot at by somebody.
Okay, that part was unusual.
And then we jumped off a building, Marina.
That part was common.
We freebased.
And Jeremy's gone.
Well, like I said, I'll let Allie explain the more details. Like I said, she's plumb upset. If y'all just want to have some breakfast, I figured having some food in your belly may be a little better than talking about all this dark stuff on an empty stomach.
I'm going to have a cigarette, but I will join you after.
I'm going to stand up and grab the eggs off of the plate as I walk past them to try and find the exit.
Just the hot fried
just
eggs.
Like, yeah, just the hot fried eggs. That's all right. I kind of like open my gullet.
Ugh.
Slurp it down. I'm an alien.
This is disgusting.
Sorry.
It's okay.
Used to
Patricia
eating raw
is
eggs.
Distraught and is going to sit on her cot for just a moment to gather herself.
Unexpected reaction. Unlike the two heartless buffoons.
Oh, I'm just... I'm going to find Allie to find out more since Coggle was just a buffoon.
Is Coggle still in the room? Have you guys, like, walked out?
Or? He's just got three plates, and he's standing kind of. He's got, like, bottle glass thick spectacles on. He's looking a little weepy. He's a little frazzled. He's like, Well, make sure you eat something. That's the best I know what to do in these kinds of situations.
I call back through the sheets. Thanks for the breakfast.
Oh, I'll do what I can.
Is it like the two sunny side up eggs and like bacon smiley face?
Yeah, bacon smiley face.
Is this?
Yeah.
Hold on a second. Is this quantum bacon?
It's just bacon. Okay. He's like, no, we traded for some bacon with some people that stumbled by here from Hormel Foods.
That was a reference to.
Great.
2 years ago?
Quantum yeah, the ago. First recording, the quantum eggs and quantum bacon.
God damn it. So it's like, I guess she'll just like sadly look down at her like smiley face breakfast and go, thank you, Coggle.
Oh, of course. Anything I can do for you, Patricia. You just say the word. I'll be downstairs. You can find me down there. And I'll talk to y'all later. And he stumbles away. Marina, did you take some food? He had a plate for you.
I have some snacks in my bag. It's okay. I will eat them on my own.
In her purse.
She's not interested. So he stumbles down the stairs with the leftover plate and the empty plate from Smythe. And you have some time to, you know, take in your surroundings, which is just like a little hammock, like cot space. There's some empty shelves. It looks like they built just like small little rooms. It looks like there's room for probably like four or five more people up here. It's a second floor of like a bunkhouse building, basically. You can peek Smythe since you're making your way down the stairs. You see that downstairs there's like a dining area in the center of like this big open air area. As you go down, there's a kitchen that Coggle's running to put the dishes back into. Under the stairs, you see there's a little door built in, and above it, it says Coggle's workshop. And like peeking in, you can see he's got like a little workman's bench and like a little cot in there. And it seems like Coggle like has made himself a little home under the stairs that he works in. And there's like some seating areas and stuff downstairs. Patricia, as you're eating your breakfast, you see that like each of these little bunkhouse rooms has like shelves and places to like put belongings. It looks like it's kind of like your own little private space to have to yourself. And it's built out of like scrap metal and scrap wood that they've like fastened together.
Could I do any sort of like perception check to see if there were others who were here, like beyond the three of us now and Coggle and Alessandra?
I think it's just a simple, it looks like this was recently constructed. Like the sheets are relatively like fresh. Looks like this, they've just been trying to make this place more of like a stop point on the like road of quantum travel, you know, so that there is space for people if it's ever needed. But in reality, it was just made mainly for like you guys.
It's like an
for
inn.
The most part. It's like an inn. Yeah. Okay.
I kind of want to find, is Alessandra around? I kind of want to find her and ask her some questions, at least a question.
So she is, you look out the window as you're heading down. If you guys are all done with your food, you head downstairs. You see out the window, there's that picnic table that you guys kind of first met at. And Alessandra's sitting on it, just kind of like looking out into like the white, you know, it's just kind of like colorless expanse around you. And she's kind of just looking out into the colorless expanse. She's got a bandage on her shoulder. She's wearing like a tank top that says like, MIB on it, and she doesn't know the meaning between the letters, but it's there, and it has like a, you know, that's what it says.
Well, I'd like to make a MIB line towards her.
Okay, and that's the end of the podcast. Thanks everybody for coming. It was really great. Season 2 was fun. I'll see you guys at season 3 in a month.
I say, hey Allie, how you doing? Sorry about the shoulder. Where's Jeremy?
Are you looking at something on the horizon, or you're just staring at?
Hey, sorry. Hey, guys. Hey, Smythe. What? Marina? No, I'm just kind of thinking to myself.
Okay.
Looking at.
And I'm sure Coggles filled you in, Smythe. Did you guys, I guess, get hit your head a little hard?
Well, he told us that you knew more.
Or drank too much vodka or something.
Well, so. Like, you know, I mean, I got shot while that guy was flying, pursuing you, some dude in black armor, and Coggle was maintaining that shitty portal generator we have that just can't fucking keep itself together, and it short-circuited and it ripped open a side gate and Jeremy got sucked through, and I didn't mean for it to happen, and I'm really sorry. I'm sorry.
I would like to give her a hug.
Okay, she does shed a few tears. She's quite upset.
So tell me the outcome of this Jeremy. Is he someone we are looking for, or he was eaten by the bear or wolves or something?
As far, you guys all wear those rings that we're able to track at least your vitals through. And as far as I can tell, he's alive. So he's out there somewhere.
Oh,
but in the same sense of I can't find your way home, I can't lock onto him. He doesn't have access to, the only reason I could lock onto you was you had that piece of quantum core and it made it easier. Jeremy has no way. Unless he somehow finds something on where he ended up, he's lost. I'm just devastated. I know me and Jeremy maybe didn't get off on the right foot, and I know we didn't know each other long, but I never want to. I always thought I could get you guys home safe.
Yes, he meant nothing personal by attacking you and trying to steal your phaser. He's just a big Trekkie.
Like I said. And we didn't get on the right end.
Explicitly not trusting you at all. Is that, Patricia's not over here right now. It's just the two of you. I'm just saying that he absolutely did not trust her.
He trusted me enough to jump off a roof, and then I fucked it up. So I gotta say,
He has no reason to trust you is what you're saying. Okay. That is good to know for future record.
You don't have to bear the burden of the guilt.
She just kind of lifts her arms and... looks
okay,
forward.
So like, well, don't what hurt is your next? We are staying here at this inn, or?
Well, I mean, it's up to you. I still can't track back to your home world. We need to keep clearing up this interference. I mean, what did you learn while you were there? There was some,
we have. Some... Hey, I remember. We have the syringe. We have the object. Can I?
Yeah, and
present
it. We've
to
already
her?
Gotten it from you, Coggle. Not to be weird, Thieves. But Coggle already kind of. So when you travel back from a quantum realm, the items on you don't persist very long, except for that quantum core. So Coggle kind of already recovered what he could before it all vanished. So we'll talk about what he did with that stuff a little later. But he managed to recover some of your equipment and manipulate it into something useful. But then all of it turned to this ethereal smoke, as it does. But we recovered the quantum core that you recovered, Smythe, and I was able to do some modifications to my program that will make sure that I can cancel out a world has an active pandemic going on, so you won't be teleported into a world like that again. I also can focus a little bit more and give a little bit more information and background on the world you'll be traveling to, but still not a ton of detail. There's still a lot of interference and... So do you guys fill her in on Langmore and everything you talked about? Just like like fast forward.
Yeah, we can add that and post a little.
Well, you can just tell me that you, yeah, but you can just tell me that you tell her everything.
We did it.
You can just show
sure
her.
Sure did it.
There, if she's got a Spotify or Apple Podcast account, she can go and listen to about 12 episodes.
Hey, yeah, we made you a playlist to kind of like describe our experience. This is for you.
I'm guessing you fill her in on everything that happened, and she says, well, from what that creature or this Langmore was saying, it sounds like some of the interference is not only being caused by these quantum distortions, but also by chaos that he's generating and that something is generating. He's some creature of this chaotic energy.
Yes.
That would explain why there's so much distortion. I'm guessing that these worlds that have these quantum elements and quantum issues are more easily invaded by creatures like Langmore that can cause this chaotic distortion that makes it impossible for me to track any kind of signal. So if we can track this Langmore guy, I may be able to modify the parameters to look for the greatest generation of chaos, and that may be a better opportunity for you guys to knock down, well, you'll probably end up where he is.
Although that does sound terrifying.
I mean, stopping him from causing more chaos will help, in general, clear up this interference and get you a better opportunity at getting home.
I've got to be honest, my home is not so great. This inn we're staying in is pretty cushy. I think we could just stay here.
I mean, Marina, that's always an option, but I don't think it's the same for your entire party.
Yeah, she's never had a room with walls in it.
And the roof?
No. that's so
And
pretty.
A roof.
To be fair, the walls are sheets.
Oh, I know. I'm aware. We're aware. It's beautiful. What's the outside of this place look like? Is it just the tent that they were putting up, or is it...
No, it's made up
I literally went to Harry Potter. I was like...
It's made of... It's like the Weasley's house in Harry Potter. You know, it's like made of like
just
scrap
ramshackle
wood.
Like...
Yeah, and just ramshackle and just put together. It's obviously held together by some kind of, you know, they have access to like advanced technology and, you know, also magical items. So it's obviously put together by some things, but they've actually made a few different things. You see that there's this main bunkhouse building. Attached to it is a little shop that's called Coggle's Wonder Emporium. It looks like a little store. It basically looks like a little bait shop that you would find by like an old lake that's like put together by scrap metal and scrap wood, and it just is like a tiny little place, but Coggle seems to have painted the sign. In the field where you first arrived, when you guys first arrived, it looks like they've set up like a little training pen, like a little circular arena where it looks like it's kind of built for some kind of combat setup. And then it looks like they've kind of built this place out, and the same picnic table still there, but the cart that they were dragging when you guys first arrived is like almost completely empty. They've built like a ton of stuff onto this, but it looks like there's still supplies to build more. They just haven't gotten it done.
Nice. It seems a little suspect that there's a bait shop being run by a catfish, but we don't know who's a catfish, do we?
No, you do. You know what he looks like.
A little fish.
But that was a curse. That wasn't his choice.
It
was a curse? I thought
trying
that
to bait himself?
I thought his humanity fish. Was like a, like, the goggles were, Coggle's goggles were just like a thing to make him look human or humanoid to, like, appease potential travelers.
I think if I explain it correct, if how I explained in the beginning, it's because of, like, quantum distortions. His world got, like, destroyed by a quantum distortion. He got, like, all
classic.
Twisted up.
Classic quantum distortions.
Yeah, so he's... It's not a curse, per se.
He is just, like, inhabiting the body of a catfish.
A catfish, badger, whatever he is.
Yeah, multiple creatures.
So, Patricia, at this point, I think she has definitely shed a few tears. She's still up in the room and is going to eventually... Or is about to make her way down, but she's going to write... she's pulled out a headshot from her bag. And it's just gonna write, I don't know, like, Jeremy, comma, we will see you again, and then like Patricia Moynihan at the bottom, and I'll just like leave that on like an empty cot or bed, in the entire huge signature. Just,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
Zach
like, but
has.
You absolutely like bomb that signature, like,
yeah. The message covers up like the tiniest corner, and then the signature is the entire face.
Okay, as someone who has an obnoxiously large signature, like, I get it. You see it. You see a big piece of paper. You have a nice pen. You're going to put your name on it. And yeah, she'll make her way down and join everybody. I did want to ask, because my purse is a quantum purse or whatever the designation we gave it. The things that I put in it, were those able to be saved, or are those dust too? Because I had...
So, carry on.
What's in that purse?
I just had a couple things that, like, I wanted to bring to Alessandra and Coggle.
Well, tell me your things.
Here's an Uzi.
One was an Uzi.
No weapons made it through. They all turned to dust.
Okay, the other was a compound bow. No,
it's
well,
a tool.
Two of them were gifts, and then one was just a product that we had brought along.
So what were they?
Can I tell you like in character, or do I need to tell you as
so
a DM?
So why don't you come down to Allie at the table and you have your purse with you. So you come down and she says, Patricia, I'm so sorry. I know how close you were with Jeremy, and I'm just ripped apart by what happened.
Thank you, Alessandro. That's very kind words from you. Yes, it's always difficult to lose a member of the cast, you know. It'll be hard, but that is okay. We know he's still alive, correct? So
yes,
that is
we
a
do. We know,
more or less.
We will monitor his status as often as possible.
You know, and there's always the possibility that he's enjoying a margarita at the Santa Barbara Welcome August Feast. Am I right?
Yeah. And Coggle says, not likely. I mean, very possible. You're right.
Oh, Coggle, could you come join us here at the table, please?
Oh, sure. Yeah. He was doing the dishes. You hear clattering of dishes, and he runs out. Oh, Allie, I told you they'd tell you it's not your fault. You know, I know you were doing your best. It's all my fault. I fucked up that transponder, and I just... Oh, I just feel gutted after all that.
Gutted like a fish.
I mean, who could have expected that sort of turn of events on top of the roof? But before I open up, I have to ask, do you know who this other organization is that has been pursuing us and, quite frankly, attacking us?
They seem to have an intricate knowledge of what is going on that we do not.
We have some idea of who Dr. Langmore is, but this other group...
Yeah, the folks with the black and red portals. Yeah, they're a real thorn in our side. We don't fully understand where they come from. They're from some world that quantum travel is of the norm, but they also seem to believe that they are rulers of it, that they are the police of quantum travel, you know, that it can't occur without their access. And, you know, they seem to... Anyway, he's like trying to get through this.
Idiots.
Smite, you have a memory of these people.
Yeah, well, I just mumble idiots under my breath.
So you guys hear Smythe mumble idiots, and he's like, oh, yeah, I guess they're not the smartest people. Because they're always throwing them.
What do you mean, Smythe? Do you know these?
Just sounds kind of one-sided. It just sounds one-sided. I get flustered and then continue hugging Allie.
This is the longest hug I've ever seen.
Has it been hugging then this Allie entire time?
Shows and back she's and very she sad. Says, should I do a history?
What, Allie kind of shows back and she says, what do you mean, Smythe?
I don't mean... It just seems very one-sided.
What do you mean?
It's one-sided that they are the policing us, and
yes,
or our perception of them is very one-sided.
Yeah.
Smythe, give me a constitution check.
Okay. Nat 20 on my first roll.
Oh my god,
Zach, I'm gonna send this dice back to you for real though.
Smythe is able to. You keep your composure to the level of like you feel like a little like flutter in your heart, but you're like, no, oh, you know, you're able to brush it off. You guys like
better than
it
Adam
just seems
is.
Like he was just frustrated at the, you know, at the assailants. Like he's just like, they're idiots because they attacked us, kind of thing.
Yeah, they continue to attack us, saying that we're the bad guys, and that's clearly not the case.
I mean, how could we be the bad guys? We don't even want to be here.
That's exactly my point.
Thank you. That's a fair point. Coggle, I called you over. I know upon our departure you asked us to bring things back for you, so I did want to... It's a small token, and it seems very almost inappropriate for this time to be any sort of celebration or gift-giving, given the loss of one of our compatriots. She sheds a tear. But she pulls
Smythe
out.
Smythe starts singing purse. Arms of an Angel. No, I'm just
kidding. Is it like, very angel? Highlighted? Are you like, excuse me?
It's just a rhinestone, actually.
She pulls out her kerchief and like dabs her eye. But it's a genuine tear, but it looks very...
It's genuine. She can cry on cue.
Yes, but like it was a genuine... It just looks melodramatic because she's an actress. Anyway, but she pulls out Toby Keith's I Love This Bar and Grill t-shirts from her bag, one for Coggle and one for Alessandra.
Oh my god. Okay, they're like, oh wow, look at all the colors, and there's just a man on it.
Yeah.
Is this man a
That's
hero
not
of
just
these
a
people?
Man. Yes.
He is a hero.
He was a god in the is this that, they just came from.
Is this that, you know...
His horses drink beer.
Is this that Yancey that we heard so much? Is this a...
This is Yancey.
That you guys talked about?
This man could only dream of being close to Yancey's stature.
Oh, yeah. So he's worse than Yancey.
He is worse than Yancey.
Oh, Toby, yeah. Keith is, wow, definitely worse
gift.
Than Yancey.
It's very thoughtful. Thank you so much.
I also pull out... where did I put it? Oh. I don't know the significance of this, but I've been holding on to it for several episodes now. It is the indigo crystal that we got from...
Oh, the Kaiba crystal.
The Kaiba crystal.
And what? Kagel looks at that and he immediately drops the shirt. Just drops it. And he's like, oh, whoa, that's cool. Can I see it?
Well, you could also put on your shirt that you just dropped on the floor. That was a gift that was given.
Oh,
to
yeah.
Me.
I'll find it later.
And
it's not floated away. Right on the ground.
I certainly don't know the significance of it, but...
Well, Patricia, we ain't got much time. It's going to turn to dust if I don't do something with it. So that looks like it could actually be something. And he grabs it from your hand as you're finishing that comment. He's like, ah! And he runs off into the workshop.
Oh, well, there you are. That's...
Jittery little fella, isn't he?
So as you guys are sitting talking,
gracious,
you actually, you know, you're sitting there, maybe like holding your hands, however you do, but you suddenly have a coin in your hand. Like you just look down and there's a coin.
Ba-ding!
And you, if you
How
drop
does it,
it,
it
just
like?
Reappears in your hand. So it's a small bronze coin, about the, I'd say like 2 inches across, so it's larger, so okay. It's pretty big.
I bite it.
On one side it has Coggle's face doing two thumbs up and smiling with his big glasses on, and on the other side it has Alessandra and she's face palming like she didn't want her picture taken for this coin, and it's just a heavy bronze coin in your hand.
It says E Pluribus Unum on there. No,
it doesn't have any writing, but it's
What is Allie? What is this?
Oh, what's and
this?
She looks
this
over
is
and she
a
says,
"Nice picture
oh,
of you."
God, yeah, it's a quantum coin. It's kind of a long story. Coggle, you see that Coggle's Wonder Emporium, as he named it. It's a store that we created. You know, when we got here, we were doing some before. We found this magical item. We kind of just were, you know, scavengers just trying to build a small structure to live in. And we actually fished in this like crazy archway. You can see it. If you look at Quaggle's Wonder Emporium, like the doorway to the store, and you see this doorway is like etched with all these runes and like it kind of glows with some kind of energy. And she says it was amazing. It let us create incredible magic objects, but something built into this ancient language is a mercantile pact. And the objects we create, like, watch this. And she goes over to she hops off the table and walks over to the Wonder Emporium and grabs one of the artifacts that's for sale off the shelf. And she walks out with it and it immediately turns to dust. And she's like, so there's a rule built into this doorway that it has to be built into a building, but as long as the objects are sold, we can imbue them with incredible magic effects. But the items have to be sold. So we had to create a currency. So built into those rings y'all wear is kind of just, I guess you call it like an achievement tracker. Once you've done it's all built into the magic of this doorway. So once you've done enough, it will reward you with one of our coins once the ring feels that you've done enough. I don't know. Coggle knows a little bit more than me, but honestly, it's still kind of mysterious to us. So with those coins, you can buy things, but we can't. You'd imagine we could just price everything as free and, you know, give it out, but the doorway seems to know.
It just seems to me that capitalism is inherent in the D&D system.
Yeah, it must just, you know, be some capitalism archway. But basically, it makes us able to create these magical items that are incredible. But
let me tell you about communism for a bit. All of these things belong to the people.
Unfortunately, that's not really what we can do. So
she grabs something like off the wall. She's like, this is mine. Like,
this is mine.
Walks out, turns to dust, floats back to where it was. It reforms back inside the store, but you can't, unless you pay for it, you can't take it out.
Well, are we going in the store? Sorry. Okay, keep going.
You can go in the store. And Coggle says, wait! And he's falling over stuff as he's running out. He's like, y'all want to earn another quantum coin? If you test out my new arena that I created, y'all can earn another quantum coin by fighting him in the arena. It's a good way to freshen up on your skills, maybe try out some battle techniques, and this arena I built.
Who are we fighting?
Oh, well, actually, y'all went to that world, and we were doing some quantum fishing, and I fished up the perfect combatants for it. Have you heard of this place, Max Mannequins?
Oh.
A long silence fills the space as we stare at this man.
They had the perfect little combat mannequins that are
turn
like,
tail
I don't
and
know,
run
fighting practice or something. But I picked up a bunch of them and I modified them to be these little combatants in the arena.
I've been thinking about it, and I think I am going to pass on this encounter.
And in the distance we hear, "Hey, buddy!"
Hey, yeah, in the distance you hear, "Come on, friend, come on down. It's me, Stuart the Swordsman, ready to fight."
We have this expression in Russia: "You fool me once, shame on you."
Shame on you.
Take a full game.
Shame on you, and then you are dead.
Hey, so if you want to take on this arena challenge that I built up with these Max Mannequins, it could be a great way to stretch those combat muscles and, get ready for our next adventure.
How many mannequins are we talking about?
Oh, well, I found three when I was doing my fishing. I got the Nevin Knife Thrower, spelled with a K-N for Nevin Knife Thrower. The Stuart Swordsman and the Ashley Arbalest model. Those are the three I was able to get. Mm. And they hear their names and they wave this like robotic wave the field. And they say, "So excited to draw blood with you."
This is haunting.
Great sell. Great sell.
You know, Coggle.
I think the ring would give you another quantum coin if you wanted, if you did it, if you succeed.
Just one?
Yep. One each.
Coggle, I appreciate this effort. I will fight. I have a mix of emotion. I have one of loss. I have one of rest. I have one of hope. There's a lot going on right now, and I will take you up on this venture. Why not? Not for the quantum coin, but to just to help a friend. I don't know, help him do his fight.
Alessandra's like, well, I usually use a punching bag to get my stress out. So, you know, I mean, it's a different way of coping.
Alessandra,
I
don't know if you've seen these mannequins before. They're right over there, and they're the worst things that you could possibly imagine.
Patricia, do you see where this picnic table is located? About 100 feet away. I don't move past the picnic table. I'm not going near those things.
I'm sure that Jeremy would not appreciate being here right now. So kind of good that he's not. He had a very traumatizing experience with that mannequin.
Who did
trying to break his legs in half?
Yes. Yes. Sure. You know what, Coggle? I will take one of them on, be it Stuart or Nevin. Or Ashley,
the arbalist.
Oh, I just want to say, Zach really crushed remembering those because my short-term memory is dog shit.
Oh, see, what's an arbalist? Plant
it's
trees.
A bowman.
Okay,
that's an arborist.
Coggle, what would I need to prepare for this sort of?
I mean, he's got like some scrap, like he's got some weapons, you know, he's got,
sure.
You know, like,
I'll just
rapier.
Take a weapon. I'll just pick a weapon. Whatever.
And
he's got
like some ramshackle armor to put on. So we'll say that, let me grab up an armor.
You know, an actress uses her environment.
And there was like scrap metal and wood over there, so you literally are making the same kind of junk, and you have experience from that from Left 4 Dead World. So
yeah,
there you go. Look,
and
look at you.
I've fought these mannequins before, so I should get advantage.
Do I have a bow? Can I create a bow with my Malorfa metal?
Yeah, you can create a light, a short bow.
Mallorca,
actually,
Spain.
You can create a long bow with your.
Harrison. Harrison had mentioned to us before recording that we did level up. Am I using my leveled up stats?
Yes, up. So that pulls us into that. You guys have all leveled up. So that's kind of why I wanted to do this combat, to give you a chance to showcase maybe some level 3 skills and some level 3 ability. Does anyone want to go? Let's do like a brief just spotlight on what your level 3 brought you. Patricia, you want to talk about it?
So, probably against my better judgment, have decided to multiclass. I've never done that before. As of right now, still obviously the primary bard, but, multiclassing into a rogue. As a rogue, I'd gotten sneak attack. I've gotten expertise as just being a level 3. I got an expertise either as a rogue or a bard, and they got the ability for thieves cant. Got some proficiency bonuses hither and yon. In my mind, I was basing this this move to a rogue, A, to just gain some more skills. B, I wanted to stay away from the more magical elements of higher level bard classes. I wanted to kind of still ground Patricia as a bard in a as close as we could get to a reality, or as an earth-based reality. And so like some of the level 3 things that you get as bard, just I mean, I guess going to college you get at level 3, but they just increasingly get more magical, and I wanted to stay away from that. So I'm going to base this on a role that Patricia played in the late 80s, early 90s, where Zach just throws that number out all the time, and that's kind of where all of my roles end up. But it was on a role she played a British spy in The Girl from U.N.C.L.E. There was actually a TV show back in the 60s. It was a spinoff from The Man from U.N.C.L.E., but it was The Girl from U.N.C.L.E. Back then, she was more of a damsel in distress more often than not, and she used her, like, her feminine wiles to, like, defeat the bad guy. And if that didn't work, then she had, like, a male sidekick who would use a gun, like, who would use physical force and stuff, and, like, I don't like that. So, like, within this reboot, she was actively combative, both with hand-to-hand combat and weapons, and spy.
The actual character in the actual show would defer to her male partner to do violent things?
I just think it was how it was written.
It was like, gun time!
Yeah, I think it was more so like, I'm the man, I'll take care of it, and like, jumped in. Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't even know how to use a gun!
Yeah, exactly. I think I need to do a little bit more in-depth research, like actually maybe watching the show, but this is what I was able to kind of glean from like my somewhat of my research. And the character's name is April Dancer, and so I will use my deference to a phrase of like my beautiful dancer's legs, as that's where that came from. Patricia being what, in her late 20s, early 30s when this would have come out. So rogue now.
As a rogue, you still wear the same kind of armor. So yeah. I'll say that you're just going to put on some basic leather armor, some scraps of leather that he had there. And we'll say that your armor is, what's your dex modifier?
My dex is, it's a +2.
Okay, so you have AC of 13.
There's
an AC spy. Yep.
Oh, I only have 12 written down. Sick.
Yep, AC of 13. Okay, so you have some roguish moves. You're standing there kind of testing out a rapier and moving it very swiftly that he has as you're putting on your armor.
Just doing my stretches.
Adam, do you want to talk to us about Smythe?
Yeah. All right, so I have leveled up as well, along with the rest of our compatriots. But I'm feeling a little something in my mind more so. I have leveled up to the third level of my fighter class, which has turned me into a psionic knight. So I have some sort of telekinetic powers, not magic, but mind powers. Ooh.
Sure. So psychic powers.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I have three new abilities. I have a set of psi die, and then so I have my three different telekinetic moves that I can do, and they all cost a dice.
All right. So you see Smythe is going over to pick out his bow, and he's struggling to get out of there, and he kind of just whoom, and it lifts up out kind of like the force.
Yeah, and I can just use my telekinetic, like, I can lift things and carry them to my hand for free.
Wow, that's pretty crazy. Smythe, do you have any explanation for this gift besides suddenly it explodes out of you?
No, just my grandfather's always taught me about mind over matter and controlling that part of me, which will then allow me to succeed in the rest of my endeavors. That was part of my training that he did, because that's who trained me in my hand-to-hand and stuff. Yeah.
Your grandfather trained you in hand-to-hand combat?
My grandfather raised me and just taught me how to fight and defend myself.
Gotcha.
But not a little mysterious. Control of my rage.
Yeah, a lot of questions coming about it.
Like everyone's grandfather.
I mean, does any of the party have any questions for it? Smythe, and he lifts a bow with his mind.
I have seen this
before. But I've never done this before, but it feels very natural for me.
Hey, William. What was that?
That's pirate for yes.
No, thank you. What you just moved the bow with your...
I don't know. I told when I woke up in that bungalow up there, I felt revitalized. I felt much better, and I'm not sure. I reached out for this bow and brought it to me.
Did some strange drugs or something?
Some ayahuasca.
That would make
Coggle.
Sense.
Did you roofie me?
I didn't do anything. That guy just lifted a bow with his brain.
What was in that egg?
Are these portals changing us?
Then I raised Patricia off the ground a few feet. And then I looked just as excited as anyone would think I would.
William, are you doing this?
I am doing this. This is... And then I just lower again because I don't know what I can do yet. So
a quick spin in the air, just like a...
Yeah. I throw the remember all, and you just dart after it.
The remember all.
Yeah.
Jesus. Smythe, when you do this, though, you
do
for a second. We'll say you lift Patricia like 3 or 4 feet into the air.
Wild.
And she's excited. Everyone's kind of like clamoring. But there is like a sharp pain in your head as you do it for a second. And you... She wavers a second. She drops for like a foot and then stabilize. And you have a flashback, a small flashback of just for a second, you knocking something out of the air and a little girl being like, "You're not supposed to use those." And your parents being like, "Shush, shush." And an alarm going off. And then it goes black. And then you kind of come back.
William, are you okay?
Yeah. I think I overstretched it, and I set her back down.
Overstretched what?
My power? My I don't know. My hand.
Well, I am.
And then I grabbed my
happy
arm.
That
like,
you can do this?
I had pain in my arm. That's where my pain was.
Seems like it would be a valuable skill.
Well, maybe in this little Max Mannequin arena, I can try and hone it.
Marina, what... has changed about you?
Okay, well, because I didn't use any of these abilities in the last world, it's going to seem like it's all new, but this entire time I have been playing the Void Weaver class. So ostensibly, I should be knitting during encounters based on some things that I've pre-chosen and patterns that are available to me. But at level 3, what I have locked in for myself is the ability to jump around in colors. So I do all my stitching based off of this thing that Harry has made for me. And you can either go straight across or you can go kind of all, you know, a kilter. And I've chosen the Wild Weaver. Yeah, okay. So maybe I will do this encounter with the mannequins just to kind of like flush out some of this knitting that I should have been doing this entire time. Well, anyway, I don't have a shotgun now, so.
Yeah, so now she's going to actually use her abilities. Marina, you pull out your yarn and you kind of like crack your knuckles.
Marina, you shouldn't be doing that at your age.
And you stretch your hands out and get your needles out and you have a little like memory flash back to an explosion that happens out on like a cold Siberian night and your grandmother standing in front of you like to protect you from this wave of energy, but your hands are behind her back so they get hit and you just remember have a flash of your hands being bandaged and bandaged and bandaged for years, but eventually healing. So you just have this kind of sudden memory of that reminds you to why you have these abilities.
It is very strange. I have the same memory every time I knit, and I knit quite often.
And yeah, you have knit quite often. And also coming to this world has kind of exacerbated these memories flowing back. Same with Smythe. Kind of this travel to this new world has kind of added to this element. But all that being said, Marina, what is your dexterity modifier?
Plus 2.
Okay, so you also have a 13 AC. And Smythe, there is a fighter setup that starts with leather armor, longbow, and 20 arrows.
Okay.
So you could have a longbow. But you could also have chainmail, which will give you an AC of 16, but you'll have disadvantage in stealth checks.
It'll be 16. Is that anything plus something?
It's just 16. It's flat. Okay, so now you guys have leveled up a little bit. Everyone's got more HP in, obviously. Just for a general idea, my rule is always if you have, when you level up for the first 5 levels, you get maximum HP. So I don't make you roll for it until after level 5. So everyone should have more HP. Zach has a -1 to his constitution, so he has 1 less than the maximum. But other than that, you guys all have some weapons. So you go in. Marina, do you pick up a weapon or do you just kind of stick to your knitting needles?
My hands are full. I cannot. I have no use for a weapon. I am going to knit this entire thing.
So Marina pulls out her knitting needles. Patricia pulls out a rapier. And Smythe telekinetically pulls a longbow to his hands from this scrap pile. Or you can morphle metal bandit.
I would like to reserve my Morpho metal band. Okay.
So you pull out a longbow and Coggle hobbles over to the arena and he says, okay, here we go. So I made up a little arena here for you guys. It should be a fun little fight. Remember, we're not looking to hurt anybody. I'm you know, it's just for fun.
That goes two ways.
You know, those Max mannequins are just friends. Like they just want to be friends.
Have you spent an amount of time with these mannequins?
I mean, I put them back together and they seem pretty grateful and they're just sitting there smiling in the middle of the field. Come play.
This is so
what fun we'll
strange.
Have. He's like, you guys pop in and I'll yell out go and we'll get this fight going.
So there's a knife, a bow of sorts. Is that what the And then a sword?
Yep. Knife, bow, sword. Okay, so you guys all step in. And Kyle goes like, remember, it's just for fun. And Ashley Arbalest says,
Coggle, I'd like to thank you for removing our restriction on mortally wounding our training friends. It'll make our combat much more realistic. We're so excited.
And Kago says, say what now? And then she notches an arrow. Roll initiative, baby.
Initiative.
First combat. Ooh.
3 plus 2 for Smythe. Got a 5.
21 for Marina. Not natural.
An unnatural 21. 20. All right. I'm going to roll my metal dice that I got from my gaming friend, J-Rock. Thank you so much. A lovely present. Oh, boy. Well,
was it a lovely present, Zach?
It didn't feel like it. Going to put that one right back in the box. That is a 4 total for initiative. Excuse me, a 5 for initiative.
Marina, you're up first.
I'm going to start knitting. I'm going to knit something in the color of red. So I'm going to do my red knit is called Basting Beam. It's got a 60-foot range. It's essentially a ranged spell attack. So I don't think I have to move to do this, actually. Mm-hmm. I'm going to target the Arbalest. Okay, so I do a ranged spell attack.
Okay.
Which, how do I figure this out?
What's your wisdom?
Plus 3, 16.
Okay, so... plus 3, 16. So you have proficiency with it, so you have plus 5 to your attack. So roll a d20 plus 5 to try and beat her AC or magic.
Okay. Oh, shit. 13?
That actually hits. It meets her AC.
So it's 2d6 on a hit. I rolled a 10, a 6, and a 4, and I get to choose one of those. The 6 or the 4 corresponds to a kind of damage this will be done as. I'm going to choose 6 for force. So that's 10 force damage to Ashley. Right.
Yikes, that's good damage right off the bat.
I'm going to knit something very cute for somebody. Maybe my nephew.
So you see Marina kind of like just throwing these like threads along, and as she does, like it billows into this like glowing orb in the center of it as she makes this kind of like, I don't know what you would call it, like a cat's cradle with her yarn, and it releases this energy as like a beam that just shoots across the field and blasts Ashley Arbalest in her mechanical chest, and she like falls backwards. And she's like, ha ha, wow, a bit of force from that one. You'll have to be silenced quickly.
Okay, I'm not knitting this for you then.
Okay, good move, Marina. So next up is the swordsman. He is going to 5, 10, 15, 20, 25. Run up to Smythe and take a crack at you with his sword.
He wields
a big two-handed greatsword. If he doesn't hit you, then you do dodge it.
Great.
He got a 9, which does not hit your AC. His greatsword with like a mechanical movements, and after your interaction with these mannequins, you have recognized their movement and you are able to dart out of the way. So next up is the knife thrower. He sees kind of the force coming out of Marina, and he's going to go and try and shut that down. So he's going to get close, but not directly in front of you, and he's going to whip a knife in your direction, Marina.
Miss.
He got an 11 to hit, which I think misses.
It is actually a miss.
And then he's going to try again. There goes my dice. He's going to use this dice instead. A 9 to hit. Jesus.
Also a miss.
So he whips 2 knives at you. These guys have just been recently repaired by Coggle, and it seems that
you are very, very close, but you are a very bad knife thrower, I see.
And he says, ha-ha, that's not very nice to say. This knife will end your life. And he just whips it past and flies past your head. Way off.
This is my point.
Okay, so next up is Ashley, and she says, My allies, don't be distracted by them. We will take them down. She's going to fire 2 arrows. She's actually the highest rated one of them. She's going to fire actually both at Marina, because she senses you are the most dangerous. Okay, 23 to hit, and then the other one was a 7.
Okay, the first one hits.
First one hits, so she's going to deal 8. I have to roll her damage. She deals 10 damage, Marina.
Okay.
And she, like, hits you with this. The arrow is, like, dulled, so technically it can't kill you, but it does, like, slam into you. It's like a...
How much damage like does she take?
A rubber bullet. 10 damage.
Love that.
Can I... I'm going to expand one of my... Use one of my die, and... I'm
what's
just going to... Yeah.
Talk us
it's,
through it.
It's our it's a protective field. I had written down the notes, but I think I should have written them down more detailed. When you or another creature you can see within 30 feet of you takes damage, I don't think it's a bonus action. So actually, can I use it?
It's a reaction, though, right?
30 feet of you takes damage. You can use your reaction to expend one psionic energy die, roll the die, and reduce the damage taken by the number rolled plus your intelligent modifier.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Minimum reduction of one, so at least you get one taken off of that, as you create a momentary shield of telekinetic force.
All right, so roll that Scion die.
So I see the arrow flying at her, and I think, no! And I rolled a five, plus my intelligence. Harrison and I had talked about switching my stats. Has that happened yet, or is that not
yeah we'll
yet
say
happened?
that just happened when your psionic energies awoke. He had misinterpreted that psionic knight would use wisdom, and it actually uses intelligence, so he's just swapping okay. his wisdom and intelligence.
So I have a plus two to intelligence now and a zero to wisdom, so there we go. So a five plus two, so that takes seven off of her 10.
Seven.
So you are, this arrow is whizzing through the air, and it enters your psionic field, and it slows and pelts against Marana, but it reduces the damage significantly. Good move.
Spasiba, Mr. Smythe.
Pelts against who?
That was against... Huh?
You said Marana?
Marana?
What did I say?
Piranhas.
You said Marana.
Sorry, I've been watching the Dota anime, and the character's name is Marana. It's very close to Marina.
Sure.
Okay, so Marina, you have reduced damage. Smite, good move. Good use of your ability.
Spasiba,
Patricia,
spasiba.
You're up next. You have the swordsman next to you and the knife thrower a couple feet away.
Yeah, so I'm going to take on the swordsman. I'm also going to add a sneak attack to it because...
Yes, he is distracted by Smite.
Yeah, and Smite is not incapacitated or any other thing. Yep. So I'm going to roll the rapier as a d8. So that's a 17 plus... what am I adding? Oh, my God.
You get plus your dex plus 2.
Okay, so it's a 21.
That's definitely a hit.
Okay, so it would be a d6 and a d8. Give me just a moment. Ooh, that's very good. That's 12.
Plus
12
your dexterity.
Yes, 14 damage to the 14 swordsman.
14 damage to the swordsman?
Yeah, I feel like I should be getting another addition to that, but that's okay. 14. We'll try
14 damage to the swordsman. So, Patricia, you kind of just... He's focused on Smythe as he's, you know, swings his big heavy sword and is kind of still recovering. And on your beautiful dancer's legs... you kind of do just a little side shuffle and just with your rapier straight through his skull, and the circuitry powers down and he collapses. You killed him.
Oh,
nice.
With one hit.
Hot. So thanks for freeing me up.
Would you look at that, William?
Look at that.
So he is destroyed just instantly, just wiped out. So that ends that turn. So Marina, you're up next.
Okay, who just died?
Wait.
The swordsman.
Do I get to go?
Oh, whoops, sorry. It is Smythe's turn. My bad. Smythe, you're up next.
So I'm going to, since I've been freed up, thank you, Patricia, I'm going to aim my bow in the sky, aiming at the arborist.
Arborist. Arborist. Grow trees.
Who is working
she's
on the plant- tree in the arena.
Yeah, she is down. She's planting. She's, and I actually get advantage because she's turned around. She's planting a tree in the ground right now. She's distracted.
Yeah, no, they're hiring a new gardener.
Oh my God, how awful.
She's an arborist. She attaches seeds to her
arrows. I sniped the gardener out of the tree because he's just doing his job. All right, fire away.
Fire away. All right, 17 plus 5, so 22 to hit.
Jesus, yes, you hit. My my god.
I hit. So I get 1d8 plus 3. 4 plus 3 is 7 to hit.
Okay, your arrow flies true and goes straight through her head. Her circuitry just shuts down and she collapses.
Hot damn.
Damn. I was going to... Oh, well, whatever. I was going to use my use another power, but I can't. Abilities. Sorry.
Yeah, no, you already devastated her.
Yeah.
So she goes down, so there's only the knife thrower left. Marina, your turn.
Well, I was going to do something else, but... In the context, I am just going to continue knitting in the color of red. So I will...
So he needs it's the same color red as the oil coming out of the mannequins.
The blood.
Yeah, like a bloody oil coming out of
the mannequins. Oh my god.
So I rolled a 15 for ranged spell attack.
You hit.
Okay. I rolled a 6.
Mm. Okay, what's the other roll? It's 2d6.
No, that's the full roll. I rolled a 5 and a 1.
Oh, okay. 6 total damage. Yep.
And I will. The 1 is cold, so I will use the 6 damage of cold damage.
Okay. He doesn't take any unique damage effects, but he is... Of course. You blast him. He tries to bring his arm up, and he blocks some of it without taking the full brunt, but he's... He's smoking a little bit, and he says, "I'll defend my brethren."
And he's cold. He's like, "Ooh, it's really chilly in here." Is that what you meant to say?
Yeah, he says, but his armor is—I mean, his circuitry is smoking
and cold.
And cold. It's just fritzing out. The technology's fritzing out, but he's still got some opportunity to throw some knives. So he's going to throw a knife at Patricia and a knife at Marina. A 21 to hit Patricia.
Doesn't hit.
And an 11 to hit Marina, which I know.
Oh, you must have been a very cold hands to have thrown that knife and not hit me.
One of his hands was...
He definitely hits me. I hope
he...
Yeah,
I know he hit you.
Okay.
One of his hands is frozen to his side, so he failed to...
Oh, no, how unfortunate.
But this one deals 4 damage as it shoots across this blunted knife and hits Patricia.
Great. She says, ow!
And he says, "There's more where that came from, you old hag."
What the fuck?
What? He's like the bad boy. He's Nevin with a Nevin. K. He's got like a mohawk haircut and like a greaser's jacket. And he's got a bunch of knives.
And he just has a bunch of knives. Sounds like a real cool guy.
He's a cool guy. The arbalist is dead, so knives. Patricia, you're up.
Cool. Oh, I guess I don't get sneak attack because I am facing him currently.
Yes.
All right, I'm gonna use my rapier against him with a 18 plus 4, 22.
That's a definite hit.
1d8 plus 2. That's what we said.
Yep, plus your dex.
That is 3. 3 damage.
Maybe are a little frazzled by his comment, and you swing, and he's like, "Ha ha!" And he gets scratched by it, but he's still standing. So Smythe, you're up.
I'm going to just charge forward with my Malorfa metal band, which I have now turned into a... Who knows? Sure. Short sword. So I swing at him. "Hello, hey man. Hey, how you doing?" Ooh, that didn't do very well. I got 2 plus 5, 7.
You haven't changed your morphal metal band a whole lot, so you aren't used to it, and you kind of you accidentally shifted into like a really heavy club and swing past him. You're like, "My shorts, oh fuck!" And you swing past him, smash the club into the ground, and miss. And he's like, "Ha ha, nice job, you ungraceful fool." The best he can come up with for Smythe at the time.
Nice.
Marina, I you're cry. Up.
Okay, you know what? I'm going to just... He's very close. I'm going to just stab him.
Oh.
Okay, I'm going to do the twin Soninos. So I have plus 4 to hit at close range, which this is close range. Am I not?
Mm-hmm. You'll move up, I'll say. Yeah.
So 18.
Yep, that hits.
And... a not natural 20.
Okay.
Obviously.
Because she has dual blades, so she attacks it twice.
Sure.
And by blades, we are saying knitting needles.
Knitting needles, yeah.
Knitting needles. Okay, so the first one is 6.
Okay, so you did what? A 1d4?
1d4 plus 2, so I had 4 plus 2 is 6.
Uh-huh.
And then the bonus one is 3. So
and
9
total.
You
don't add anything to that. You just rolled a flat.
Correct.
Roll, right?
Yep. Correct.
Okay, so your total was 9 damage.
Mm-hmm.
So he's facing Patricia and Smythe, and he's like, I've got a dagger with your name on it. And he doesn't notice Marina just like kind of creep up behind him. And she jumps up and goes, hah! And just stabs the two knitting needles.
Whoa. I did not jump. I reached up.
She reaches up, and because he's doing like a crouched pose, She reaches up and just goes, stab the two knitting needles like the bolts on the neck of Frankenstein. And she just stabs him into his head, and he goes, oh, shuts down.
Nice.
After you defeat them, you feel your ring kind of tingle on your hand, and you see, like, bronze sand pours out of it and forms into a coin. And now you have a second quantum coin.
Time to go shopping.
And Kago says, geez, y'all decimated them. I'm going to have to build them up and make them... Next time you come back, let me tell you, they're going to be strong. I'm going to do some modifications. It's going
to
be great.
Assuming there is a next time.
I mean, I'll always have an opportunity for you to earn some extra coin.
With the mannequins?
Yep, I'm going to build, fix them up and make them better. I think Ashley Arbalest is going to be an all-star fighter one day.
Well, thank you so much for that. For that little round of combat there, Coggle.
Yeah, any opportunity to stretch your legs and get the muscles moving there, Patricia, happy to help. And you guys can keep the armor, or, I mean, it doesn't matter. So you can keep the rapier, though, if you want, Patricia.
I might.
You end up sheathing it, like, back on your belt, and it just kind of hangs there.
Sure.
And, yeah, you can decide to keep it.
Okay. I will consider it.
So you I had an actual bow, or I was using my Malorfa metal?
Yeah. He has, like, all the basic weaponry there. He's collected, like, it's not special. It's just, like, old junk that he's collected.
Whatever. I'm taking that longbow, then.
All right. You string a longbow on your back, and we can leave that you have that armor. That's going to be your armor when you go to the next areas and stuff, too. That's just your generic AC. Okay. So we can say, like, you keep a relative version of that armor on.
Cool.
Customize it as you will.
Cool.
And he says, let's do some shopping. And Kago gets all excited and runs for the store. And he says, let me just say, as you approach, he says, welcome to Kago's Wonder Emporium. I built everything in here myself. I'm sure you're excited to see it all, and come on in. And he opens, he runs through the doorway and pops behind the counter, where you walk in and there's a whole plethora of mystical and magical and technological objects. So I've sent you guys a list prior to this game time that we're playing right now. And it has all these many different items. There's a lot of just kind of basic stuff, but there's also a lot of unique items as well that I created. Items. So you guys have had some time to take a look at it. Has anyone come up with any ideas of what they want to buy?
I would like to buy something.
All right, so let's start with Smythe. Let's just go in introduction order. So, Smythe, why don't you go first?
All right, since I've now got two beautiful quantum coins, I flip both of them in the air, and I drop one, and I catch the other one.
The one I pick the other one teleports back to your hand.
Great, so then I caught both of them.
Bound to you.
I would like, and then I flick one over to Coggle and say, hey, man. How's that little green arrow looking?
Oh, and he says, you mean au revoir the arrow.
Yeah, the au revoir arrow.
Au revoir the arrow, yeah. This is
au revoir cool the little, arrow.
Au revoir, yeah. This is a cool little object that we got from this young enchanter. He popped by when we were, you know, while he was traveling because of some portal spell that he had used that had gone awry. But it's a steel tip arrow. It's very well maintained. We've kept it in this nice carrying case. But it's been enchanted that it's now enchanted with like the spirit of a faithful companion. It will always return to you after being shot. So it's kind of like an infinite ammo.
Ooh.
But it responds to au revoir. So, and as he says its name, its feathers kind of shake.
Then I say, I'll take that. Au revoir.
All right. And then the arrow, like, shoots up and, like, goes into your quiver.
Goes right into my throat.
Yeah, and kills you instantly at the end.
All right, so does it deal any damage or anything?
It's just, like, a regular arrow, but it's just that it will always come back to you.
It returns. Okay, cool. So it's just the same damage. Arrow. It does the damage of my longbow, then. Okay, cool.
Yep. But maybe there will be some benefits to it at some point that are beyond that. Do you want to buy anything else with your other coin, or do you just want to hold on to it?
Let me think about that since I...
Okay. Marina?
Okay, I've been looking at your menu. I would like to buy this thing called the Quantum Scooper. Quantum Pooper Scooper?
Kago says, oh, and he pulls out, it's like, looks like a little mini vacuum, like a little, what would you call it, dirt devil. But it breaks, like, it looks like just a pair of, like, brass knuckles, but when you press a switch on it, it expands out to, like, a dirt devil that you could suck stuff up with. But the Quantum Scooper will allow a player once per long rest to attempt to capture an object from the current dimension to store for future use. Object can be no larger than 1 cubic foot. And you roll an arcana check to see if you succeed. If you're successful, the object is kept safe until you return to the void where Coggle can either buy it from you or grant you some form of bonus. So just as a note, before you make your purchase, this will only capture one item. Once you successfully captured something, it's the only item you can get for it. So
I understand.
Yeah. Okay, so he says, yeah, here you go. 2 quantum coins, please.
Spasiba.
All right. So he takes
spicy butt indeed,
drops him into his register, and you feel like a tingle as you hold the item, and now you can take it out of the store. It is purchased. Okay.
Got it.
Patricia?
So Patricia is immediately looking at the Coggle's classic necklace. The necklace grants any clothing the wearer dons added blessings of protection, +1 AC. Given that my AC is abysmal because of my own stat organization, I was looking at that as a possibility.
He's got like a whole like branch of those, you know, like those jewelry displays. He's got like, there's multiple of those, so multiple people can pick that up. It's not like a one-time only.
Yeah, so, like, the one part of me is like, oh, I'll spend my money now. The other part of me is like, what if I just hold on to all this money and, spend it at some other time? Give me... Okay, that's 3 quantum coins. Did everyone spend all their money?
Smite technically still has 1 coin.
I gotcha. Okay.
Unless you want... What are you thinking?
I was looking at the level 3, the deity candle from Land of Gas, Dadiona, gas station.
No, it's Gastadiona.
Ah, god damn it. Okay, a long glass tube candle that displays a deity of an unknown culture on the front. Lighting the candle creates a dome of protection in a 25-foot radius per long rest. Upon lighting the candle, roll a d100. Any hostile creatures that enters the dome takes a 1d2. Okay, whoa. Any healing is doubled. This is like there's a frayed sticker on the underside of the candle, lavender scent, Ichnothul Productions. What is the Ichnothul? Is that some play on words?
Well, you're looking at the candle, and it's like, it looks like a candle that you would buy at a gas station in like your world, but it's like crazy runic lettering, and like on the bottom it says, it has like some weird warning sticker, but you don't recognize like the names. It's from some other dimension. So you don't know exactly what it means, 100%.
Okay.
It's a mysterious object, but...
I see. Oh, boy. Okay, so I'm going to take the necklace just to get a plus one to AC. She'll say, like, oh, Cockle, this necklace is absolutely lovely. I will wear it with pride.
All right. And he says, oh, thank you. I designed those. That was one of the first items I created. It's lovely. And when you put it on and give him the coin, you feel like a voof, as like kind of the energy washes over your armor and you feel a little bit tougher.
Cool. I will be sure to put that on my stat sheet. And lastly, I was looking at this small golden tipped letter opener. You have dubbed it the King's Bounty.
Yes.
It says a small golden... Well, it doesn't say that, but like this is what I can infer from it, unless you would like to tell me what it is.
Yeah, Coggle. So Coggle holds it up, and he says, so this is it's a small golden-tipped letter opener. I got it from some sorcerer that was passing through, but it was said to be used by a king that was the wealthiest of the land. Once per short rest... here's the rules of it. Once per short rest, the tip of this letter opener can be touched to any mundane object, except money, weapons, armor, living things, and potions, and it will create 100 perfect copies. So by mundane object, it can't be magical. So no magical items. You could touch a potato, and it would make 100 potatoes.
Yeah, it seems like something I could exploit. I for whatever reason, I'm just entranced by it. So, Coggle, I believe I will take the King's Bounty with me.
Okay. A King's Bounty. I don't remember why I came up with that one, but it seems like it could be fun.
Seems like it could be fun.
Did you have an idea for your second quantum coin?
I'm going to do the Sparta your day right leg warmers.
Okay, so the Sparta your day right leg warmers. These cozy leg warmers are a brilliant red that are stitched with ancient magical gold thread. While wearing the leg warmers, once per short rest, you can perform a Spartan kick. It targets one person within 5 feet. You use your strength and proficiency to hit. On a hit, you deal 1d10 plus strength damage, and the target must make a strength saving throw or be knocked back and made prone. It's a pretty fun one. All right. So you guys buy some items from Coggle. And he says, thank you so much for your patronage. I'll have more inventions when you guys give me more ideas.
And there is like a repeat, like a frequent customer bonus card or something, right? We get a discount on future purchases.
Oh, yeah. I'll give you, I got a punch card here, and it's Coggle's Pro Club, and he punches it once for you made a purchase.
Excellent. Thank you, Coggle.
But I made two purchases.
Yeah, it's per visit. Sorry, I don't make the rules. The doorway does. It said I could have a frequent customer club, but it's only once per visit.
One per visit
forces it. Watch me try and punch it twice, and he tries, and the punch vanishes. So you guys get some items from Coggle, and Alessandra comes in and says, "Oh, I hope you guys managed to find some things that will help. I've got news. I've switched over the filter like I said I was going to filter out looking for large sources of chaos energy and interference, and I got a big spike from a world very recently. It seems that perhaps your old friend Langmore is out causing trouble somewhere, so it may be our best bet of making sure he can't really destroy that world that he's headed to and see if we can fix what he's broken. We don't have to go just yet. Maybe you guys want to rest up after that little conflict with the mannequins, but I can open the portal when you're ready."
Yeah, I'd like to take a really long rest.
You know, Coggle's like, oh, we can personalize your little living quarters, you know, and get some stuff together. And you take some time to kind of...
Coggle, could you explain something to me?
Patricia.
My bag, my purse that I bring along with me, some of the items in it have greater ability than I thought they would. My essential oils have had the ability to heal wounds. in when we were in St. Louis. Do you have any insight towards that?
So Coggle pulls down his other one of his pairs of goggles, and he says, "Well, let me take a," and he like flips some little filter glasses over it, and he's like, "Let me take a look, see," and he flips it on, and he's like, "Oh, well, there's definitely indices of effects from quantum radiation emanating from your bag. It seems that it has some kind of duplication property and also enhancement property that's, you know, caused the items that were in your bag when you traveled seem to have gained a replication element that they'll keep coming back. I see it, the same kind of energy emanating off of that knitting bag and honestly off of the hands of Marina, which could explain her strange abilities. And I mean, Smythe in general is just emanating it all over the place. He's covered in this stuff. So it seems that your guys' travel through the quantum field has caused some kind of radiation. It doesn't, for some reason, it focused on your bag. I don't know if that has some kind of special connection to you or something, but it didn't seem to leech onto you. But your bag, yes, it seems to have some kind of supernatural properties.
Well, thank you for that insight, Coggle. Hopefully it'll continue to bring us some good luck in our future.
Yeah, it seems helpful. So if you ever want to sell it, you can sell it to my store.
Thank you so much, Coggle. Well, compatriots, how do you feel about taking just the rest of the day to ourselves and setting out onto this next venture on the morrow?
I have some meditation to do with my friend Stochnaya. So, yes, that sounds very appeasing.
Some time, Alessandra, some time. I think we just need some time to ourselves to recuperate, not just from the battle, but from the several days we've just had. The loss of Jeremy and...
Will Patricia's essential oils work on Alessandra's wound?
She's already patched up.
She's already recovering. I mean, it's just like a
just a gunshot wound.
Now it smells like rotting flesh, though.
They have magic and stuff. You know, their healing elements are just as good. So it's almost recovered, but it's just like she just has a bandage still on, kind of as a reminder. And she says, "All right, you guys go rest up, and I'll do some final calculations, and Coggle will fix some things here, and we'll be ready for it when you're ready."
And thank you,
she sits back at she sits down at like the main table, and Coggle goes under the stairs to mess with some stuff, and she leans back and just kind of types on her tablet. So we'll say you guys get a long rest in. When you come back down, Alessandra's drinking some dark liquid that smells like coffee and herbal tea at the same time. And she's sipping that while typing on her tablet. And she looks up at you and she says, "All right, I think I've got a lock on this location.
The next..." Do you have any more of that? And I point at her cup.
"Oh, yeah, this is a Coggle creation. And I think I'm just used to it. But yeah, there's a whole pot of it over there if you're interested."
It smells kind of interesting.
Yeah, it's like floral coffee.
I'll take some.
Yeah, it tastes like floral coffee.
I carry the coffee pot to my hand with my telekinetic powers.
Oh,
I'm just kidding.
God.
I walk over and pour myself a cup, and then I come back to the portal and resume listening.
She says, "Okay, so I've done a little bit of scoping into this place that I've locked onto, this plane of existence. It's a little strange. The world is inverted, I guess I would say, if that's an easy way to explain it. It seems as though its light source, like as you would your sun that you had in your world and the sun that was in the world, is on the exterior of your planet out in the orbit of space. In this world, the light source is on the interior and the world faces inward. So from an out-of-character perspective, if you guys have played the game Halo, you know how when you're on the Halo, you can see up. And when you look up, you can see...
It's like rings around.
I have not played that game.
Yeah, but this is a sphere. This is like a sphere that is interior
like,
focus.
Yeah, there's an orb, some sort of sun source
in
inside
center.
The...
Yeah. So when you look it up, and if you're standing on the ground in this world and look in the sky, you'll see the world above you.
It's how flat earthers see the world, right? Isn't that how the flat earthers believe it?
It's not flat.
Yes.
It's an interstellar, wasn't it?
Probably. Yeah. Like, there's
a lot of
interstellar.
Shit in interstellar.
Like, because of the way the gravity works, they're like, you can see the ship above you. So it's like an inverted world. I don't know exactly how to explain it. She's like, "That's what I've discovered. It seems to be built in kind of like a maze structure. That's the best I can kind of suss out. I can get you as close to the major elements of interference as I can, but I can't get you right next to it. But I'm going to get you as close to the chaos he's generating as I can. I'll try and enter you in an area that doesn't seem to have any life signs, so you're not ambushed by anyone, but that's about the best I can do.
Well, it is what it is.
Give it your best shot.
Well, yeah, so she hammers some keys and Coggle, like, tightens some bolts and stuff, and the portal rips to life with blue and green energy again, as per usual. And she says, all right, I think this is it until... Yet again, until we meet again.
Smythe inhales and then exhales really deeply and says, for Jeremy.
And Coggle is standing there and he goes to shake your hand, but he's wearing like a full suit of armor this time. He's like, nothing's going to shoot me this time. I'm not going to fuck up again. I promise. And he's like, I'm ready.
Of course not, Coggle. And I just pat him on his shoulder. And then I go up to Alessandra and I say, what did you just say? And again, until we meet again. And I give her a nod.
And I say, for Mother Russia. And I toss one back.
You toss back a shot, and the portal looms ahead of you, and you guys leap through.
Yeah.
What are we looking for?
Yeah, you'll figure it out! She yells as you
fly. Oh, yeah!
So the portal...
You better have vodka!
You fly through the green tunnel and fly through the bending blue and green lights. And that's where we'll end the session.
You've heard the tale, and now who knows where next our hero's path will go come next week. And you'll know, with Devin Redward, Zachary Blaylock,
there's Adam Dunn and Andrew Forsythe too.
That's me.
Harrison Redward, he's the DM. See y'all next week, and don't forget to like, subscribe, review.
Quantum Dungeon.